Epic has announced that the Unreal Engine will be royalty-free for the first $1 million of revenue. Plus, a gaming convention canceled voluntarily and needs financial help to come back in 2021. Tonight is May 17th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello. How are you doing? I'm hanging in there. I know it's getting hard for some people out there, so thinking about all of you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live, welcome. We tape this podcast every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right at the Voice of Geeks Network. Twitch channel is twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the show. It's Twitch, so let's see how we do. But if you can't be here on the podcast feed, that's fine. You can join us during the week over on our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where we are during the week. And things get shared during the week, news articles and talking about stuff throughout the week there. Or you can leave a comment on the episode pages over at VogNetwork.com. So that's a lot of stuff going on, how you can get in touch with us during the week. And a lot of times I'll pull stories from the Discord server as to what I'm going to be talking about. But the first one I'm going to talk about here is a local convention, and it kind of dovetails with all the stuff I've been talking about for the last couple weeks here about events and why some events haven't canceled yet and what the penalty is if they cancel without force majeure. And we actually now have a very live and very real situation with the convention that is near and dear to my heart and near and dear to the Voice of Geeks Network's heart, because we are a sponsor of it. And it's the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which is an arcade and pinball. It's a gaming expo now. Used to be called the Game Room Expo because it was all arcade and pinball. And this convention has been going on for about 6 years, and they were going to be doing it in July of this year. Well, unfortunately, they have made the decision, which is most likely the correct decision, to cancel. And they did this on their own. So they are literally doing the exact thing that everybody wants all these conventions to do. They look at it and they say, you know what? We should not take place. And so they have done that. So they put out a statement here on their website and on social media. They say that it breaks our hearts to do so, but out of an abundance of caution, we have decided to cancel the 2020 Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Please know that this was not a decision we arrived at lightly. The pandemic is a serious threat to public health, and we could not in good conscience host an event that would put the community we love at risk for infection. With the state of Georgia currently easing restrictions, reopening businesses, and a ban on large gatherings set to expire in June, you may ask yourself why we still chose to cancel. Simple. Our convention is unlike other large gatherings, with our expo focused on playing games, touching controllers, and close interactions with others. There is no foreseeable way to responsibly host Southern Fried Gaming Expo the way you have come to enjoy it, with the high standard of quality we aim to achieve. Because the July 10th through 12th, 2020 date does not currently fall under a statewide ban on large events, keeping our attendees safe by canceling the event comes to us at a considerable cost. Current contracts in place with event venues, vendors, and others require penalty payments for canceling or other prepayments that are non-refundable. That said, we think we can still survive, barely. However, we need your help. We recognize that this is a trying time for many, but if you are at all able to support the show, please consider simply carrying over your membership until next year. Additionally, please consider purchasing some of our reserve inventory of t-shirts and other merchandise. We will also be unveiling a limited edition 2020 shirt to show your support very soon. Despite the fact that all memberships sold state no refunds at the time of purchase, we are nonetheless offering full refunds minus processing fees for a period of 2 weeks until May 27th, 2020. After that date, remaining memberships will automatically transfer to next year's Southern Fried Gaming Expo to be held June 11th through 13th, 2021. So the key there that they kind of bury because they don't want it to look like they're begging is that because they have volunteered to cancel, they are canceling voluntarily, pandemics are not covered under event insurance. So they have to pay a penalty to the Cobb Galleria, where they have reserved this big, huge expo space. They have to pay a penalty for canceling. They have to pay a penalty to the hotel to have them cancel all our rooms. They automatically canceled our rooms. I had a hotel room on site, even though I live only about 15 miles away. They have to pay a penalty for that. They also do not get any of their deposits back because the hotels need the money. They're not going to just willy-nilly hand the money back. The hotels are hurting too, and they need that money. And the contract states that if the convention cancels voluntarily, then for their own personal reasons, that they do not get that money back. The government is allowing this convention, would allow this convention to happen. It is possible that in June the government could say that it couldn't, but they're not banking on that. And they don't want people to make plans. They don't want vendors to have to make plans. And so they have voluntarily canceled, and they are eating the cost. They think they can put on a convention in 2021. They think they can, but only barely. And it actually may not even be the size of the 2019 one. And SJ Warner Matt says, it also voids whatever contract they have with the venue, so now they have to renegotiate a new contract with the venue, which I believe they have because they've already announced next year's dates. It's June 11th through 13th, 2019. But they had to negotiate that new, and they may not have been able to get as much as they could because they don't have the money on hand. A lot of conventions, they use the previous year's convention to pay for the next year. And now that they have lost all the money that went toward 2020, now they are running on fumes for 2021. So this is a convention near and dear to our heart. We actually had not paid our sponsorship yet. So we are not, Vogue Network's not financially affected. In fact, it may actually help us because now we're going to be paying out less money in 2020. So we can use that money for other things here on the channel. But Questbusters, I hope Southern Fried can find a way through. I believe so as well. I hope so as well. They believe they have a way forward, but I don't know if it's going to be at the same scale. Because that's the thing. They have to reserve, and that takes money to be put down, and they don't have the money. So they are asking people to buy merch. They actually have a store on their website at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which they're selling shirts from previous Southern Fried Gaming Expos. They're selling other shirts that don't really, like, that are actual, like, generic arcade shirts that have their logo on it. And they are making some shirts for 2020. They're working with an artist now, and they're going to be showing all that, sharing all that. So if you are local, consider buying some merch, which will help them be able to put money down for the next year's convention. Because the problem is they did the right thing and they are getting financially punished for it. Whereas had they waited until the government said no and invoked force majeure, they would be sitting pretty right now. They would not be in a financial bind right now. They would be able to collect on insurance. They would be able to collect refunds on their deposits or roll them over, and they'd be able to have to, you know, have the same contract and everything. And since they did the right thing, they might get punished for it. They are doing exactly what everybody wants PAX and Dragon Con and MAGFest and all these other events that are later on in the year. They did exactly what everybody wants those other conventions to do. They voluntarily said, you know what? We're not going to happen this year. So help them come back in 2021. It's a very fun convention, and now I have a pinball itch because now I'm not going to get to play a real pinball table for a while, and we were actually going to buy a pinball table at the show. That's one of the things you can do at these pinball conventions is some of these games are actually for sale, and they'll even have a little placard that says how much. And the catch is you take it home on Sunday. It's there for the entire weekend, and then you take it home. In fact, like on this you can see on some of these, I don't ever zoom in. I'm showing B-roll on Twitch from last year's convention. On some of these, they actually do have a placard that says how much they're asking for it. And if you're willing to pay it, you hand over the cash, you have your own truck, you take it home, and you put it in your house. And we were fully planning on doing that and taking a machine home with us at this year's convention. And now we won't. So now we have pinball fever, and now I'm going to be trying to figure out what I can do to get my own pinball table, because I thought this was going to be the year. Fifth Dream Today says, I was talking to another cosplayer who was from Atlanta and was wondering why Dragon Con hadn't canceled yet, so explained the legal issues. Thank you, and I am glad that I could help educate, and they are very real issues. I am positive that Dragon Con would love to do the same thing Southern Fried Gaming Expo did, but that would probably kill Dragon Con. And they are hoping that the government steps in, especially because they're in the city of Atlanta. There's a higher chance of the mayor and the city government stepping in and saying that can't happen. Whereas this convention is technically not in Atlanta. It's actually in a completely different county they would probably be. This convention takes place right next to the Atlanta Braves Stadium. So the new Braves Stadium. So they are very much. That county would be more wanting this convention to go on. As Sharon and Matt says, they did the right thing. Sadly, if they put on the show as it would have been very hard to set up social distancing measures, safety, etc., since it was so close to starting. I wonder what legal challenges if someone gets sick and decides to sue the expo for putting the show on. That's the other thing, and especially because of the nature of a convention of this where everybody's going up and touching the same controllers, there isn't enough Lysol and Clorox wipes in the world to make that sanitary, and you know not everybody is going to wipe down the machine before they touch it. They absolutely did do the right thing, and they're doing it at great financial cost. So the only reason I bring it up and I'm spending all this time talking about it is if this is the type of convention you'd like to see survive and you want them to be able to continue for doing the right thing, for canceling before the government told them to, consider buying a shirt or two over at SouthernFriedGameRoomExpo.com. And SJ1Matt says, sadly, state officials are kind of putting measures in the hands of local owners to figure out. I have been hearing there is a pinball arcade near where I used to live, but it's in the same county. And they have not reopened, and they are trying to look at ways to reopen their business. They have a pinball. It's a small place, so it's not huge. And then they were like trying to figure out how they could reopen. What they may be doing is like reservations only, and you can like you and like up to six people could reserve the arcade for like an hour or two. Everything's on free play. You pay for that, and then they wipe down everything when you're done and then let the next group in. And that's what they're considering doing to be able to open their business again and be able to make some money. Because right now, you know, nobody wants to be in an arcade or a pinball area right now. Fifth Dream Today says, I love pinball, but haven't played enough to know one I'd like to own. Because this was actually an interesting conversation. We'll kind of transition to pinball for a little bit here. One of the conversations on one of the panels I had was, do you buy a pinball table based on its theme or its play field? In other words, do you buy one or want to buy one based on how it looks or on how it actually plays? And I was literally the only one that was like, they're all the same to me, kind of, because I am not a hardcore pinball player. I look for the theme. So, like, I will buy a table that I would possibly buy a table that people are saying, oh, it's not the greatest playfield, but if I really like the theme, I will buy it. And that's why, like, the Doctor Who, the original 1992 Doctor Who table, that's like my holy grail. it may not be the best table out there. It's no World Cup soccer. It's no medieval madness. But that's the one that I want. That's the theme that I like. If Stern, who's making new tables today, if they made a Rush cabinet, I would be first in line and my wallet would be crying because I would be getting the limited edition so fast. So I look at the theme, and it's more like, does the theme work? And there are some other tables that I do like that I would buy, but it's not because it's going to be the quote-unquote best play field. SJ Winner Matt says, if I were to buy a table, I would buy it for the theme and the enjoyment factor. For me, Haunted House is my bucket list table I would buy. It's a bit dated, but it's so fun and cool. SJ Winner Matt also says, I follow Battle and Brew on Twitter, and they seem to be handling things well. Sadly, they're still getting grief for just being open. And so that's kind of interesting. Battle and Brew is a local restaurant. It's a esports-themed restaurant. It's also a LAN center, but they're a restaurant. They have gaming. They have console stations, PC LAN, arcade. They actually have a pinball table as well, but they've got some arcade 1-Up cabinets. They've got a real MAME cabinet and all that stuff. And they have reopened, and they are getting a lot of grief because we are in Georgia, and we are slowly reopening certain things. And I will admit, and everybody's going to hate me. There's going to be some of you out here that are going to hate me. I had dinner there this week. I actually went for my birthday. That's where I went. I know that everybody's going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But they're doing everything as safely as they can. It was all, you know, it was all like plastic silverware that was, you know, in the plastic. Like, they didn't give me real silverware. Paper plates. So there was very little like reusable dishes. There were 10 or 12 feet between us and the other tables. Everybody was wearing masks. All the servers were wearing masks. Obviously, we weren't because we were eating. Everything was sanitized. All the doors were open. That's the thing that you don't think of. They actually opened all the doors from the outside to the inside. So you didn't have to really open any doors except for the actual bathroom door to get in. They were following all the regulations, and we felt safe. And, you know, it's been several days and I still feel fine. That doesn't mean anything, I understand. But I went there to support them because they would like to stay in business too. And it's bad. It's hard enough because the restaurant business is designed for volume and they're not allowed to have that volume right now. I think they're at 25% capacity. But it was very clean. I could see them cleaning things. Everything was good. So, you know, I went, and I hope that they do well. And I understand I am in a portion of the country where I'm able to do that, and not every place is ready for that interaction, but there are places that are doing it right. And SJ where Matt does say, it looks like they're doing the appropriate measures to keep everyone safe. Yes, and they're even doing a few more. Like, they're exceeding the state guidelines. And he said, I'm not opposed to reopening as long as it's done safely, and this time it was. And Questbus says, if you follow distancing safety guidelines, then it is what it is. We did. There weren't that many people in there. I didn't go around touching every surface either because, you know, I'm smart. Questbus says, Bobby didn't run around high-fiving the staff and the other guests. No, did not. Totally did not. And even the guests were doing the right thing. Like, it was not – there was nobody that was – you know, there was one guy that doesn't know how to wear a mask. But other than that, he didn't work there. So let's talk about games instead of that. I played a game, and this actually – the reason I'm bringing this up is it, like, it's blown up on Twitter apparently. But a game came out on the Nintendo Switch this weekend. It's free to play. So if you have a Switch, you can try it yourself. It's The Elder Scrolls Blades. Everybody has a phone, don't you? So this is the mobile game. It's now on Switch. And I played it on I tried to play it. I actually did play it for like an hour or two, and it's a mobile game that's on Switch. It's got very much a cash shop to be able to speed things up when you're building. You're trying to like build a town after a dragon killed it or something, and you know you get resources by going through dungeons and doing, you know, very simple first person combat, which I was playing with a controller. not the Joy-Con. So it's hold left, hold right, left, right, the triggers. That's how you play it. And then you build stuff, and it could take, you know, 5 seconds to build something or an hour and a half to build something, and you could spend gems that you could buy with real money, and there's loot boxes, and yeah, anyway. So I tried it, but what I pointed out on Twitter is it's really hard to play when the right stick, when you're trying to look around, and it's lagging like that. The rest of the games runs fine, and you can even see in the video that I put up on Twitter, is that like even the leaves that are falling are still going in real time. But when I'm using the right stick to look around, because it's a first-person game, it's really, really laggy. Questbuff says, I wonder if the cash shop is aggressive in this version as it is mobile. Yeah, I have not played the mobile version, but I'm going to tell you yes, because it's pretty darn aggressive. It points up, it's like, you could spend $19.99 to get this chest, to get this, to be able to do this, and stuff. Now, the reason this got brought up, I'm saying this blew up on Twitter, is because everybody else has played this and been like, yeah, it didn't do that for me. So I don't know what it is. My assumption is that for whatever reason, it's because I'm running the game off my SD card, which no other game has any problem running off my SD card. But apparently this one might. So I need to go in and move it to the system memory, which thankfully we can do now. One of the last major update to the Switch firmware allows you to move content between the system memory and the SD card. So, but it automatically downloads anything new to the SD card. So I may need to move it to system memory because for some reason it just doesn't like that SD card. And it's the only game that doesn't like that SD card. But it's only when you're looking around. When I'm moving, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. When I'm fighting, it's perfectly fine. And SJWinnerMatt says, I don't have this problem. I tried it on both Joy-Cons and Pro Controller. I had a few other issues like freezing mid-swing and needing to pause and unpause. I didn't have that, but he didn't have these other issues. I actually think it's because of the SD card. I honestly think that's what it is. So I will try that at some point. But a lot of people watched that and retweeted it and liked it and talked about it. And everybody's like, nobody's like, yeah, I don't have that problem. So I will try it with moving it to the system memory. But even then, it's not a game I'm going to play all that much. It's more I'm going to be doing it for the science. But it's a mobile game. It wants you to spend real money. But it's free to play. You can try it. It's only 1.2 gigs if you're worried about size. I am happy, though, because guess what? We're going to finally get something that I ordered a year ago. The Verge reports that the TurboGrafx-16 Mini will launch in North America on May 22nd, next week. Konami's miniature console was initially set to come out on March 19th through Amazon for $99.99. However, Konami delayed the console a few weeks before its release, after suspending manufacturing and shipments of the system as a result of the pandemic. A new release date for the console in Europe has yet to be announced. So Amazon sent me an email. They say it's no longer going to be delivered January 5th, 2021. It is now going to be delivered May 26th. So hopefully I'll get it before then, because if it's coming out on the 22nd, it is very possible it will get here on the 23rd or 24th. But you can now order one now, and it comes out on the 22nd. So those of us who ordered it a year ago, now we can finally get it. And Orange Wright says, just re-pre-ordered it. Congratulations. Fifth Dream Today says, of course it's finally coming out on the 1 week in a while that I'm a little low on money. But yay. And Pod Culture does say he had to cancel his. Got the notice on the shipping the day he was told about his job. And, you know, my thoughts and my heart goes out to you on that news. As Sherwin Matt says, I'm still debating on getting it. Kind of want to see Bobby stream it first. Well, good. I will try to stream it. I don't know when I'm going to get it. And what I actually did with the Genesis Mini is that I basically streamed right when I opened it. Like, I did not use it until I streamed it. So I will try to do that, and I will try to hold off. But no guarantees that you'll be able to see it live, because I don't know when that's going to be, because it may get here on the 23rd, and then I'm going to want to play it that weekend. Breakman says, I'm selfish, I want it now. I do too. So the news that I wanted to talk about is about Unreal Engine. And this is really good for a lot of independent developers. So Epic, because they have all the Fortnite monies, they are really trying to court people into using their tools instead of using Unity or anything else. And Ars Technica reports that since the rise of Fortnite is a popular game and Unreal Engine 4 is a popular game-making toolkit, Epic Games, the studio behind both, has been keen to capitalize on the momentum. This has included an aggressive push to lock down game makers into its ecosystem, and Tuesday saw Epic announce its most generous developer-specific offer yet, a massive increase to its royalty-free grace period. As of today, any game or software maker who uses Unreal Engine for commercial purposes doesn't owe Epic Games a penny until a single piece of software exceeds $1 million in gross revenue. This is on top of the company's existing policy to not charge Unreal Engine users a monthly fee, whether they're using the software suite for commercial or educational purposes. Previously, Epic offered a royalty-free grace period for a game or app's first $50,000 of revenue, then began requiring payment of 5% of the software's worldwide gross revenue from that point on, including DLC, crowdfunding, fundraising related to software, and other related revenue streams. That 5% fee still applies, but it now leaves game makers unaffected until the $1 million threshold is hit. The news applies no matter if you are where you launch it. So it could be on Steam or the Epic Games Store or Humble Bundle or consoles or anything. And it doesn't change the existing perks for games published on the Epic Games Store that Unreal Engine's 5% fee is waived on there. And so thanks to combined existing promotions, an Unreal Engine games launch on Epic Games Store could garner a whopping 23% more revenue after fees than on Steam. Today's news means that developers who sell games on Steam retain slightly more revenues up until the $1 million threshold. Hence, today's royalty promotion may have its sights set less on Windows or Mac developers and more firmly on indie game teams who have been eyeing the next generation of pricey consoles. So Unreal Engine 5's handsome new features, slated to launch in 2021, appear to target the processing boons expected in systems like the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. The existing Unreal Engine 4 toolset will also receive updates with the new consoles in mind, as will cross-platform APIs like DirectX 12 Ultimate. Now, here's the other neat thing that they're doing, the nice thing they're doing, is that if you launched on January 1st, 2020, this actually has a grace period, and it's been retroactively extended to your product. So if somebody launched an Unreal Engine game on, like, January 5th or whatever, then this actually applies to them. It's not something that goes into effect today. It goes into effect for anything launched this year. Now, this also, in January, Unreal's largest 3D engine rival, Unity, increased the cost of its paid subscription tiers as of the beginning of this year. Those subscription plans include a complete waiving of required royalty payments, no matter how much gross revenue a game makes, with the exception of the enterprise tier, which prices are determined on a case-by-case basis. So, and also on the Oculus Store, if you're a VR developer, any Oculus-exclusive games or apps made with Unreal Engine still enjoy a royalty-free grace period to the tune of $5 million. When this initiative was announced in 2016, Facebook confirmed that it would foot the royalty bill up until the $5 million threshold, and it's unclear whether today's news means Facebook will owe Epic Games less money for big VR earners. So the other big Unreal Engine news was that during the Jeff Keighley State of Play, or not State of Play, was the Summer Game Fest, I think is what it was, because I think they did it in the Summer Games Fest. They showed the Unreal Engine 5 tech demo, which is playable. You're not going to be able to play it. It's not an actual game, but it is an actual playable demo. It would have been shown at GDC, and people would have played it, running on a PlayStation 5. And they're using this new technology called Nanite to show it off, to be able to do a whole bunch of visual stuff. And it looks fantastic. It's running at 30 frames a second at 1440p on a PlayStation 5. And they did say at the time that this is only possible because of the SSD, the solid state drive technology of the PlayStation 5. But the Xbox Series X is going to be able to do this as well. PCs are going to be able to do this as well. This is not a PlayStation 5 exclusive. It's just that Epic and Microsoft are kind of not all buddy-buddy right now. And Epic and Sony are buddy-buddy right now. And so obviously they're going to say, for marketing's sake, that this is a PlayStation 5 and all this stuff. But this is going to be able to be what games look like on other consoles as well. ActDev says, I feel completely indifferent about the tech demo. It was cool. This tech demo, by the way, was not using the buzzword of ray tracing, from what I understand. There is no ray tracing going on in this tech demo that they're showing. But it is, they claim it is played by a human. And in fact, had GDC happened, this would have been shown at GDC, and people would have literally been able to go up and control this themselves. So, you can believe that if you want. I do choose to believe it, but you can choose your own path if you want to believe that this is actually being controlled by a human or not. ActDev says, I mean, it does look cool, but this is still not a game that I can actually play. Well, tech demos exist, and they have always existed, and a lot of them are games you will never play. There's a lot of that out there. This is not going to be a game that's ever going to come on store shelves. Just like, you know, Milo. Remember Milo when they were showing off Kinect and Peter Molyneux's Milo? And they're like, yeah, it was a tech demo. You're not going to be able to actually play that game. That's just a demo to show you what the tech is capable of. But it's not fun enough for a full game. It became Kinectimals. Milo became Kinectimals, by the way. But this is just showing all the stuff that developers can do, which is why it was intended to be shown at the Game Developers Conference to show developers what they can do with their titles. The Brickman says, so this isn't going to be the next Lara Croft. Can we name her? I think there is a name for this tech demo. I just don't know what it is off the top of my head. Questbus says, I can't wait to buy the physical version of games like these and see 10 Blu-rays in the case. Because who knows how big these textures are going to be. Future gaming's looking pretty good, y'all. Just got to say. So it's going to be great. Things are going to be fine. Things are going to be great. That's not going to be a real game. You don't have to worry about that one. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll see if anybody's in the green room. If anybody wants to take a call, join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, and go into the green room voice chat channel. And so I can see that you may want to call in. We can talk about anything going on in the gaming's industry. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is Aaron Toplitzky, a.k.a. YYR, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring the best, the very best, as in number one, numero uno, most super multitasker in the world, in our hearts. The one and only Bobby Blackwell on the VOG Network at VOGNetwork.com.
Yeah, it was YYR, about super multitasking. There's a reason I played that bumper. I'll talk about it in a second. But if you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be a game developer. You can be, but you don't have to be. You can just be you. All you got to do is send me a file that has no music behind it. So it can be an audio file of just your voice or a video file of you without background music or anything like that, because I'm going to edit it all together to make it work out, make sure we don't get muted on Twitch, and then you can we can get played on the show. So you can either contact me in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, or you can contact me via email. You can use bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. So the reason I played that is because there was actually a very interesting Twitch stream this week, and I want to say it was Friday night. There was a very interesting Twitch stream about super multitasking. There was actually a speedrun race of super multitasking, a blind speedrun race, might I add. It's basically they had 11 people who had never played the game before in their life have to go through the challenge modes of super multitasking. And so I watched about 30 to 45 minutes of it in the beginning. Basically, they had to complete 30 of the 41 challenges. And whoever completed 30 of them first won. And I think they were able to do that in 39 minutes. And this is never having played it before. And the stream itself actually had, four screens, and they would show what they were doing. And they had two commentators doing esports commentating, and they were talking about the strats for the different games. It was pretty wild. It was pretty cool. So that was something that would have been neat to check out if you haven't. I'm going to see if I can. So what they actually had is so you had four people on there that were trying to go through and get all of go through all the challenges, and they actually had commentators that were commentating over it. So it was a lot of fun. I think the first person finished it in about 39 minutes. I'm going to kind of fast forward here. And they're learning the games, and they could skip some challenges. So 32 minutes was the first place person. But it was all basically them trying to go through and, learn this game. And this was all blind. None of them had known it. So congrats to YYR on getting this. This was a sponsored challenge, so basically that meant that YYR approached them, gave them a whole bunch of keys so they could all play the game, and then they did this speed run, and they seemed to have a lot of fun with it. The Breakman says, why do I think I would still be struggling to beat any of them? I can even beat the first ones, Breakman. So if I can beat the first ones, so can you. I believe in you, Breakman. Let me check to see if anybody is in the green room. Nobody is in the green room tonight. If you want to call in on a future show, basically the way that this works is you can go to our green room voice chat channel. And the reason we use a voice chat channel on Discord is because that way I can see. I can look on the list and see people in the green room. I then pull you into another chat room, and then we talk. And we talk in like an AM radio talk show. We used to do this by a phone. We used to do this over Skype. Skype decided it didn't want to work anymore. So Discord it is. That's how you can call in. But most people, don't want to call in for valid reasons, very valid reasons. And I understand. That's why we have a chat room. That's why we take viewer comments elsewhere. That way it's not just me, even though it is mostly me up here. And sometimes also we'll talk about things that are going on in chat. Some people will sometimes bring things up on chat. I did want to bring up a comment about the last story that we did. ActDef says earlier, he's like, he wants to know what the games are, I believe. He's like, this is the thing that worries me. Where are the games? Referencing the Unreal Engine 5 tech demo we saw. And he's like, so where are the games? Where are the games? Where are the games? It was a preview of an engine that's going to be coming out for developers next year. So nobody's building games in this thing because nobody has it. And so that was a demo, and this is kind of the hard thing about the gaming industry. A lot of times the consumers intercept demos that are intended for developers because this is such an open industry with all this stuff. And the consumers have to be involved in everything with the industry. That's why consumers are in E3 today, because they want to be involved. And they feel that they're part of the industry too. And so E3 has to cater to the consumers. And so something like that would have been shown at a game developer conference gets shown to a lot of consumers. And consumers are like, great, where's the game? What's the game? Where's the game? And they're like, this was to show developers what they're going to be able to do next year, so they could then kind of plan for it and then have a game come out in 2022 or 2023 that uses this technology. That's what it was. It's very valid. You can say, well, where are the games? And, you know, I'll just tell you, there no games exist, and no games will even be thought of existing for at least a year They were just trying to show developers what they're going to be able to do, and that way they can start designing and planning for when they get their hands on the technology sometime next year. ActDev says, yeah, we need the games for the PlayStation 5. I mean, well, E3 hasn't happened yet, so we got time. I mean, they didn't show that many games for the Nintendo Switch until 2 months before it came out, and everybody loves the Nintendo Switch. So it'll be fine. By the time the PlayStation 5 comes out, you'll know what the games are. SJR and Matt asks, thoughts on the Paper Mario surprise from Nintendo this week, and are you going to get it, Bobby? Yes, I will get it. I'm happy to see it. I enjoyed Paper Mario. I never did beat a Paper Mario, but I did enjoy both the N64 and the GameCube versions. So, and I actually do think I have the, I think I have all of them. Like, I think I got the Wii version and stuff. It's been a while, though. And I enjoyed playing them. So, I look forward to playing more. I will also say that I have not logged into Animal Crossing in 3 days, and I'm okay with it. I did have a birthday stream on my birthday of me in Animal Crossing. But, Thursday was the last time I logged in. I'm like, oh, darn, I missed a KK Slider song. Oh, darn, I didn't get turnips again. Fifth Room Today says, you monster. Yeah. Breakman says, suck on that, Tom Nook. Exactly. Something I don't want to miss is what's coming up next year on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. It's Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on in their world. So we're going to connect with them and see what's going on and what they've been doing this past week and what they're going to be talking about tonight. Sacramento, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So Elder Scrolls Blades, you're not having the right stick problems that I am?
No, it was fine for me. Like, look, I'm not going to die on a hill for this game and say it's like the greatest thing ever. But for what it is, a free Elder Scrolls game, I'm like, it's interesting. It's kind of, I kind of like they did some Diablo-esque sort of things to it where it's it feels very much like, you know, you're just kind of like doing these random maps and kind of, you know, doing these things. And then you unlock this thing called the Abyss, which is very similar to like Diablo's kind of like never-ending map system where you just go deeper and deeper, further into the portal, and I can't remember the name of it in the moment, but so it's interesting, and I'm a big Diablo fan. I've kind of been waiting for something to fill that void, like, where's my Torchlight 3? Where is, you know, and I know Path of Exile is there, and it's okay. I like Path of Exile, but I have a very hard time, like, progressing in it, if that makes any sense. I'm kind of looking for something to fill that Diablo void. Minecraft Dungeons looks very promising. I'm hoping.
Yeah, and I wasn't saying what I did to take a dump on the game, because I still played it for like an hour and a half or 2 hours or something, even with that. Cool. Like, I got to the Abyss unlocked. I built the smith. I did a couple of the quests there, did all like the special challenges or whatever that are like they refresh. So, I mean, I didn't mind it. It wasn't a bad game by any means. And I played with a controller, so I didn't have to, like, I guess if you play with the Joy-Con, you actually swing it like a sword. And I didn't do that. Oh. It was just right, hold down the right trigger, release it, left trigger, release it.
Yeah, I don't do the Joy-Con thing either. I think it's important to note, too, a lot of people could be judging their perception of this game off when it initially released on mobile. My understanding is they did listen to some fan feedback and change some things. Again, it's not like other Elder Scrolls games. No. It is extremely, like, it's like Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, but Elder Scrolls, okay? Like, there's elements of it, but it's very, you know, dumbed down, I suppose.
Uses the lore. It's the same lore. And, you know, like, I think one of them was like, oh, you know, damn it to oblivion. I'm like, oh, I get that reference.
Yeah. So my biggest complaint is that there's no stinking map. Like, that's the most irritating thing about it to me. And, like, I don't like how your town looks with all, like, the caved-in buildings. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, it should just be empty.
But they're in ruins. The dragon breathed green fire, and you've got to fix it.
It's hard to tell where my buildings are that I've built and where my buildings that are scrap heaps are, because, again, there's no map. So,
and there's no colors either, because we don't like colors in these games.
Yeah. So that's my biggest complaint about it. But otherwise, like, you know, it's all right. Mm-hmm. Meh.
It was free.
Yeah, it killed a couple hours. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed it more if the right stick worked, but I do actually think it might be – it doesn't like running on the SD card for whatever reason, even though everything else does.
But interesting.
Now
yeah.
that I can move back to system memory, I'll move it over to my system memory and see if that fixes it.
I mean, honestly, the 2 hours or so I've spent playing Elder Scrolls Blades would have just been me fishing in Animal Crossing. So, you know, it's – this time sync or that time sync, you know, that's what video games are to some extent in this era.
So I know something's going to be happening this week, a triumphant return to the Voice of Geeks Network. Do you want to talk about this?
Yes. So, well, kind of the Voice Geeks Network, because you know the restrictions on this, why we have to do it this funky way. But what's going on is that so Arya Snark, my buddy from Shaking and Crying, which was a podcast we were doing kind of intermittently, I suppose. You know, obviously during this quarantine thing, we've all been very bored. We've been talking about let's podcast again. And we had this idea a while back to kind of do like commentaries over our favorite movies. Well, then that's why I kind of lit up when I heard that Twitch was adding this functionality where you could do these Amazon Prime watch parties. And I kind of had an aha moment where I was like, all right, I need to see a Victoria's Game for doing some of these commentaries live on Twitch and doing a watch party, because not a lot of people are doing them right now. I've seen like a former Big Brother player commenting on a Survivor episode, and that was getting a lot of views. But otherwise, there's not a lot of people really in on this right now. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So I'll let you in on a little secret. We had to change the movie at the last minute because the movie we wanted to do like disappeared from Twitch or from Amazon Prime like 2 days ago.
But
I know.
Bezos.
So we weren't. So here's I'll let you in on the secret. We were planning on doing Sister Act was the movie we were going to do. One of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Like a total camp. You know we love camp. Like yes. Victoria and I, we love camp movies and silly cinema and things like that. You know, we did Rocky Horror for years, so we love those types of movies. So we were going to do Sister Act. Unfortunately, it disappeared probably because of the Disney Plus. It's actually over on Disney Plus. It was a Touchstone movie, which was a Disney subsidiary, so I'm sure there's weird things coming into play there. But that's okay, because the movie we found is equally camp, equally fun. We're going to do The Birdcage.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch The Birdcage Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Pacific. Okay. Another little secret I'll let you in on. We're actually going to go live a little early. We're going to go live a little early at like 6:30 maybe, because just to make sure everything's running okay and smoothly. So we're going to watch an episode of America's Next Top Model before we go into the movie, The Birdcage.
Yeah.
So which will start at around 7. So it'll be on my personal Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/RobRoberts, because you have to have an Amazon Prime account tied to your Twitch account to be able to watch or to be able to stream it too. And obviously Vogue Network, being a business, don't really have a Amazon account. So I'm sure it'll be hosted.
Yes.
But
and all our bots, all our bots will retweet it because it monitors your channel like it monitors the Vogue Network channel.
Yeah. And the reality is, if this does very well, it's going to motivate us to do, you know, well, we're going to do it just because I don't want to make it sound like you better watch or it's getting canceled. That's not the sole motivation. But like if a lot of people turn out and it kind of does like, oh, we should do this more often, it might drive us to doing podcasting a little more often. And then we might do like the podcast commentary episodes for the movies that aren't on Amazon Prime.
So Tigerclaw actually asked, because I guess like not everybody knows what we're even talking about with watch parties, because he's like, if it's on Disney Plus, why didn't you just watch it there? This is actually because Twitch is owned by Amazon. This is a Twitch integration with Amazon Prime. So that's why, like, because you're not streaming the actual movie.
No, that would be illegal.
Yeah, so you are actually using your Amazon Prime account to stream the movie, and then Twitch is just embedding it and then going to put Rob and Arya Snark in the corner, and you're going to get to hear them commentate over it. But I do understand if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can still tune in and listen to Rob and Arya.
Yes.
You can't see the movie.
So here's our little workaround for it, or at least in my head, and I'm just going to hope. Remember, this is the first one. I'm going to hope this all plays right. So what we're going to do, for those of you that have Amazon, obviously that's the preferred way to do it, right? And if you want to know why isn't Netflix there, why is, because I had to explain this to Victoria too, why isn't Disney Plus there? It's quite simple. Amazon owns Twitch. End of sentence. So that's why the two are together, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you have Amazon Prime, great. You know, you'll be able to have the movie there and then we'll be up in the corner. But if you don't have Amazon Prime, you only get to see us. Now, obviously, it would be illegal for me to stream the movie. However, it would not be illegal for me to say, and the logo fades now. Mm-hmm. So if you want to watch with us and you don't have it, we're going to set it up in a way to say, and the logo fades now. So that way you queue up your copy so it's on the logo of the movie company. And then when it fades out, you can start yours and it'll be close.
And Tireclaw is asked, do you have to load this in a separate browser? No, Twitch literally is integrating it. This is called a watch party. Twitch released it to affiliates like 3 weeks ago. So that's why you haven't seen it yet. But it is an actual, like, Twitch is all doing this. But you have to have an Amazon Prime account to be able to use it. Because it uses your Amazon Prime video account. But it's all embedded. It does it all for you. One tab. Everything's good.
And if you want to see it, I encourage you just like, because I did it to see what it looked like. Just go, it has its own category. Just like, you know, League of Legends has a category or talk shows and podcasts like what we're doing has a category. Go look at Twitch parties is a category. Don't do it now or do it in a separate browser window or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, make a note to later on tonight, check out Twitch parties and, or is it Twitch parties or is it watch parties?
It's Shucks. I think it's watch parties, but I'm not sure.
Sorry, it's watch parties. My bad. It's all new. But my point is it has a category. You can go and you can see what it's all about.
Yeah. And the Breakman does ask, you know, who the hell watches a stream of someone else watching a movie? A lot of people. Have you ever heard of Mystery Science Theater 3000 or Riff Tracks or anything else like that? So, yes.
Here's the thing, what we're trying to emulate. Like, of course you can watch the movie without us and you'll probably have a pretty good time. Mm-hmm. But especially for these very high camp comedy movies that have high rewatchability value, and I want to remind you, I come from a culture of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. So these types of movies are really fun to watch with your friends on the couch and, you know, just talking over it, talking about it, laughing. You're going to laugh harder when other people are laughing and all that. Well, the reality is the world's in quarantine right now, so we can't really, I mean, you might be doing it, but you're not supposed to be doing that type of stuff. So this is our way to kind of bring that to you virtually.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, and it's looking forward to getting some of that shaking and crying magic back.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it too and hoping it can kind of spark some creativity to, you know, rework our show into something that we can kind of do every week, you know. So this is very exciting. So fingers crossed. It's an experiment, so bear with us. It might be a mess on Wednesday, but we're going to do everything we can to make it cool.
And then we'll be able to answer all your questions. Like Fifth Stream, just like how many people can be on screen participating at once. It's technically just a Twitch stream. And then it's the Twitch stream is streaming like normal. It's just they're adding the Amazon Prime widget on the same page, and you're hearing both.
Exactly. Imagine seeing exactly what you're seeing now, assuming you're on a computer. This doesn't work on PlayStation 4 or any of that other stuff.
Right.
But it's going to look exactly like it looks now, except you have a big window and a little window, and we'll be in the little window, and the movie's in the big window. And you have a chat box that you can still participate in, like always, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So the Birdcage, Wednesday night, pre-show, America's Next Top Model. But let's talk about Sunday night, tonight. What's going on tonight?
Orange Lounge Radio coming up next. Episode number 820 with myself, Dark Sakura is back tonight, which is great, and Loki, of course, talking about the week in gaming news. We're going to talk a little bit about that DDR, that brand new, you know, our show started about music games, and so there's a new Dance Dance Revolution out there on the web, online. People can play it in their browser. So we'll talk a little bit about that and the excitement some people have behind that. We're going to talk as well about, we're going to talk about a game that's turning 30. It's 30 years old, and it's a legendary game. It's a game everybody's played. It's Solitaire for Windows. It's turning 30.
It's older than me.
I know. We'll look back fondly on that a little bit. And then what else can we talk about? A lot of controversy around a brand new anti-cheat. Well, it's not really brand new, but it just got brand new added to a game that released a few weeks ago. Anti-cheat, and it's got a lot of people very upset about it because some people just want to play the single player. So we'll talk about that as well tonight.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Join us live. Interact with the show directly. You can leave me a bumper. Audio of your voice only, no music, or video with no music behind it. And I will edit it together. You can email me bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com or contact me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch @BobbyBlackWolf. I actually did stream this week once. And I will say this. Everybody keeps talking about Yaris. I still have Yaris. And I do have all three Burger King games. And I do have my Xbox 360 here. And I do have the ability to stream the Xbox 360. So maybe one night I will stream Yaris, because you may not remember Yaris because you don't have it on your Xbox 360 anymore, but I still have it and it still runs, and maybe I can stream Yaris for all of you. But I do have the Burger King games. They're talking about the Burger King games. I don't know how they got on that topic. I don't know how they got on Yaris, but I do have Sneak King, Pocket Bike Racers, and whatever the third one was. I got them all, and so maybe we can try those. I don't know. Breakman's like, what are the names of the other two Burger King games? Well, I mean, Pocket Bike Racers, I think, was one. And then I can't remember really the other one. I'd have to look. It's right behind me. And I'm not going to look right now. So I will answer you in chat right after I get off the air. How about that? So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. It was big bumping, by the way. Thank you, Orange Wright. But the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this show work without the help of the chatters that have supported us during the show. So SJ100 Matt resubscribed for his 15th month. Thank you so much. Act Deft resubscribed for 17 months. That's his sub anniversary. I don't get the Twitch math. I think it's 17, 15, 16. I don't know. But thank you so much for the resubscriptions. And Renowned Marshall followed during the show tonight. So thank you so much for that. I will be back next Sunday night. Take care of yourself. Wash your hands. Be good to everybody else. And try to play some games. I'll see you guys later. All right. Take care. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.